Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Repetition is exceedingly important. What I'm trying to say is repetition is exceedingly important. In fact, repetition is exceedingly important. Friel, we get the point. This is Wretched Radio. Got a little quiz question for Jimmy and for Mike.
All right.
Luke. Chapter 8. It is the story of the parable of the four soils. This is the parable that Jesus said, you biff it on this one, you're not going to get anything else. In a sentence, each one of you, tell me, what is the meaning of that parable, and your answers can match or not. Mike, go.
Parable of the soils, evangelism.
Okay. Jimmy.
I would agree with that. That's a good one.
It's about evangelism.
Yes.
Let me demonstrate why repetition is so important. There's a lot of ways that you could actually describe that parable. You could say, well, this talks about true and false converts.
Okay.
This talks about God doing the saving. This talks about people that can be inside of the body that appear to have some sort of fruit, but they don't persevere. Therefore, they really did not get saved in the first place. So all of those descriptors could identify what the parable is about, but I would like to demonstrate, pour vous, whether you're from France or not, why repetition is so important that we identify it when we see it in the Bible. We have a tendency to use repetition in two different ways these days in the church. First of all, our worship music. Wow, do we repeat stuff with our worship music. The second way, though, is you just repeat the saying. Okay, memorize the verse, repeat the verse, or have our kids catechize and memorize it and repeat it. And that is good and fine. But when we study repetition in the Bible, it is because the authors of that particular text are not just trying to help us remember what it's about, but to identify what it is about. The instance, Luke chapter 8. Let me take you through the chapter, and then you listen for repetition. I'm not going to tell you what it is. So you're going to have to actually hear for yourself. Luke chapter 8, if you recall, Jesus is doing some teaching. He's just been casting out demons. He's been very busy, very active. Certain women minister to Christ. That's the beginning of chapter 8. That these are people who are supporting the ministry of Jesus Christ. Please note, this is radical in the text. Women did not receive this sort of prominent attention in first century Rome, nor in first century Jerusalem, not Palestine, in Israel. And so the note here is worth noting that, wow, Jesus really is giving some prominence to women. But now we begin with the parable of the four soils. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, trampled. You know the parable. Verse 9. He finishes the parable up by saying, others fell on the ground, sprang up, yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then his disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Verse 11, have you heard any repetition yet? Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. When these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time the temptation pulls them away. Now, the one that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the one that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Have we been hearing any repetition?
I know.
What is it?
hear.
Exactly.
Yes.
You hear the word hear a lot. This is not by mistake. He did not need to repeat that four times in the explanation of the parable of the four soils. But he does. Furthermore, he announces it. This is a parable. A sower went out, and it was trampled down. Some fell by the right. So the word is being preached, and some people heard differently. Four different ways of hearing are identified. But hold on. We're not done. Verse 16. So he's explained the parable of the four soils. Now we get the parable of the lamp. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand for those who enter, they can see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away from him. So the parable after the parable is about what?
Hearing.
Hearing. Hold on. Verse 19. You see a break in the text. It's a good thing that we have these titles to identify what this section is about. It's very helpful, but it's not in the text, and sometimes it can trip up the flow and you can miss repetition. Verse 19. Then his mother and his brothers come to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Why all of the emphasis on hearing? Because Luke, in this context of explaining the parable of the soils, the parable of the lamp, talking about Jesus' mothers and brothers, he is talking about the importance of hearing rightly. Suddenly, that changes a little bit of the emphasis of the parable of the four soils. We naturally think evangelism. We think this is the descriptor of true and false converts. Those who hear, they almost believe, but not quite. Yes, that is all true. But the context, the repetition tells us, you better be a good hearer. Think about how you listen. Don't be deceived. Don't be one who is not saved. Are you hearing this? Are you getting this? Are you understanding this? Listen well. And he repeats it with the parable of the lamps. He repeats it by saying, my mother and brothers, apparently, it maybe is astounding at this point because we don't really know. The brothers we know were not saved at this point. But Jesus says, though my genuine mother and brothers, so maybe Mary was included, the brothers were not. They're those who hear the word of God. It kind of summarizes what you've been hearing. They actually heard rightly. So the key just isn't in identifying a false convert, but it's also understanding how one becomes a false convert. They aren't listening. And so Jesus regularly cried out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Pay attention. Think about this stuff. Get this right. Active listening." And I can't help but wonder how applicable this might be for you and me today in our culture. Let's be honest. You do not need to point to the kids to demonstrate short attention spans. How's about ours? Are you kidding me? We can barely read an email that is longer than three sentences. In fact, reading emails? What? Just text me. And if you could, just use emojis. And we are all guilty of it. It's like lickety, make it fast. And we need to hear fast because we're apparently, I don't know where we're off to, where we're going, what we're doing, but we are so quick to need information. And Jesus maybe has a word of warning for you. Slow down. Listen. Are you getting this? This morning, I had the opportunity to spend some time shooting another episode of Road Trip to Truth Season 2. Believe me, Season 1, it's coming out within the course of a week or so. You'll know more about it then. But we were shooting an episode on the subject of pornography. And we were talking about the individual who is so deceived, who maybe is sitting in church and who hears sermons of warnings. Hey, where are you at in your walk? Hey, are you striving for holiness? Are you making sure that you're in the game? Are you in the battle? Or have you just little by little given in? Because if you have done that, you're almost dead. You are almost spiritually dead. And if you die, you might just be eternally dead and damned. Don't be one who is deceived. Jess Arntz was just doing a bang-up job. He's Masters University, Master Sem, has done tons of biblical counseling. He said something staggering when he was doing biblical counseling in college, to the college where he was doing some RAing, I believe. Said 89% of the students there, the young men, dealing with porn. Not necessarily addicted, but it's an issue in their life. And so he was talking about making sure that you are examining self and listening to preaching that is convicting and not just blowing it off. And I wonder, just maybe, how many men and women perhaps need to heed Jesus' warning today. The next time you go hear a sermon and the preacher maybe fires one that's a bit of a dart, let it land. Let it stick. Hear well. Don't listen quickly. Don't dismiss any preaching that's convicting. Don't read your Bible lickety-split, but let it do its work in your heart. Is it possible that you and I could even be one of these four soils because we just are not listening to Jesus' words? Well, this is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for listening in to Wretched Radio today. We are certainly appreciative of your time and definitely don't take it for granted. You know, Halloween just around the corner, and that means it's time to break out the Snickers bar, the Butterfingers, the candy bowls, and the gospel tracts. That's right, the gospel tracts. This year, give the kids the gospel with the booklet, Don't Stub Your Toe. And it's super easy to do. When kids come to your door, give them candy and Don't Stub Your Toe for them to read and bring home to their parents. Don't Stub Your Toe is the perfect booklet to give away to anyone in need of hearing the gospel. It's a thorough presentation of the good news that absolutely anybody can understand. The mission field is literally coming to your doorstep this Halloween, so don't pass up on this opportunity to give the gospel with Don't Stub Your Toe. Just visit wretched.org/toe to get your copies to give away. That's wretched.org/toe. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
If you have been going bonkers and perhaps praying for alternatives to expensive health insurance, I am thrilled to commend to you MediShare. Please visit MediShare.com/wretched to learn about affordable, biblical health sharing. This just might be the answer to your prayers. Imagine Christians praying for you and sharing one another's health care burdens. Please visit MediShare.com/wretched.
It's time to learn a new vocabulary term. The word of the day today, doom scrolling. The definition? The tendency to continue to surf for bad news, even though that news is depressing. But never fear. Head on over to wretched.org and watch full-length episodes of Wretched TV, listen to the hour-long Wretched podcast, and visit the Wretched store for all things Wretched. And while you're there, would you also consider becoming a gospel partner? Because without you, there is no Wretched, and you'll have to go back to doom scrolling. Visit wretched.org today. That's wretched.org.
Good afternoon, Mr. Friel, writes Joshua. As I listen to the Wretched podcast, I've often heard you recommend donating $28 to preborn.org. Indeed, you're correct, Joshua, which will provide an ultrasound for the mother. You go on to say, 80% of the time, the mother then chooses to spare her child's life, which is incredible. Indeed, it is. Joshua writes, I would encourage my fellow wretches who give to Preborn to actually give $35 if they have the means, because statistically speaking, with $35 donated, they will save the life of a child. Thank you, my accountant friend, Joshua. He's right. $35, you will save a baby's life. Whatever the amount is that you can give for ultrasounds, would you please consider doing that and giving to Preborn? You can visit preborn.org and save a life for $35. Preborn.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 988 AD. After examining several religions, Vladimir, Prince of Kiev, chooses Orthodox Christianity to unify and guide the Russian people. Even after a century of atheistic communist rule, Orthodoxy remains at the core of life in Eastern Europe to this day. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Did I mention repetition is important? This is Wretched Radio. When the Bible uses themes, thoughts, or even words over and over again, we do well to stop and listen, because it will inform the context of what Jesus is trying to communicate through his written word. Pay attention to repetition. Gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
Prepare for quiz.
Okay, I'm ready.
Number two.
Going to read to you another section of scripture, and you will listen very, very carefully to repetition. Now, before I do that, gentlemen, tell me, what is Romans 1 about? In your own words, one sentence will do. Michael?
I went first last time.
Oh, gosh.
That's Jimmy's turn.
Jimmy Jam, Romans 1.
Salvation.
Okay, it's the beginning of a long treatise on salvation. Mike?
Introduction.
The introduction.
Cheaters. Ay, ay, ay.
Jesus.
That's the Sunday school answer. Romans chapter 1, it is about the law. So is Romans chapter 2. So is Romans chapter 3 through verse 20. It's law, 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 law. Okay. It is about, in Romans 1 specifically, how we see the depraved nature of humanity, how sinful we really are. So typically these days, whenever Romans 1 is referenced to in a general sort of way, you'll typically hear, you want to see the depravity of man, the spiral into sin. Here it is. We go from this, we go from this, we go from this, we go to that, until men and women are doing very wicked things with their bodies. That would be a summary of the entire chapter. The spiral into sin and the law that reveals our depraved nature. Now, consider Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God, you're listening for repetition.
All right.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident within them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes and his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and birds and four-legged animals and crawling creatures. Now, you didn't hear the same word, but you heard a theme. Mike, do you think you've got the answer, do you?
I think I do.
What you got?
I think that it is thinking or knowing.
Thinking or knowing is in there, but it's more specific even than that. So I will continue. Don't worry.
All right.
You're on the right track. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. Again, you didn't hear the same word repeated, but you heard a similar thought repeated. This one is trickier.
This is tricky.
Than the hearing verse in Luke chapter 8. Did you catch it? Let me read the highlights, and you're going to pick it up.
Okay.
All right? Talked about God's eternal power and divine nature in verse 20. They did not honor God in verse 21. Verse 23, they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God. In Romans chapter 2, verse 7, they who seek for glory and honor and immortality, they get eternal life. But those who are selfishly ambition, damnation. The repetition that is presented in Romans 1 and 2 is what is distinguishing those who inherit eternal life and those who are damned are those who seek for God's glory and those who live for themselves. That's the repetition. Now, it doesn't jump out on the page that clearly, but you just heard me. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different ways that it is said in the context of those short verses. So now, all of a sudden, the text kind of lights up in a different way, doesn't it? So God's issue with people as he judges them You were seeking my glory or you weren't. Now, how does that fit, incidentally, into the scope of the entire Bible? It gives us the thesis statement for the planet. This is a teleological statement. Why did God create the planet? Here it is. For his glory.
Yeah.
What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. God created this world to put his attributes of mercy, grace, and loving kindness on display. He, in eternity past, determined, I want people to know how amazing I am. And that is why he created people in his image that he knew would disobey so that he could redeem them, he could rescue them, and his glory could be put on fuller display because of sin and evil existing than if it did not. Romans 1, it most certainly is about the law. It most certainly is about man's spiral into sin, but it clearly states what the issue is. You are either going to glorify God, or you're going to make an idol of self, another human being, or of an animal, or of an object, or of an activity. Frequently it's money, frequently it's sex, frequently it's fame. You give that glory, you're damned. Because this is about my glory. And that, incidentally, should change the way, frankly, every sermon is preached. If God, in eternity past, went about the business of creating a universe to put his glory on display, does the sermon that you are prepared to preach this Sunday, sir, cooperate with God's agenda? Or are you going to be pastor relevant? Hey, church! How's about this fall, huh? Finally, some decent weather. I'm telling you, we sweat like pigs in Georgia during the summertime, don't we? But whoa, is it ever nice in the fall, you know? I took my woman. Is she hot or what? Took my woman. You remember that? Remember that trend?
Those were some big mistakes I made early on as a pastor.
Your smoking hot wife. That was a trend.
Well, not that.
But that was actually a trend.
Oh, it was.
Oh, smoking hot wife.
No, I was talking about just a relevance issue. Is this sermon relevant to the congregation? Things they're going through right now, as opposed to bringing glory to God through every sermon.
Now, here's the ditch you don't want to fall into in going, okay, then I'm just going to bring God glory, and it's not going to be relevant. You got to do both of these things. But sure. In this era, we jump over the glory of God just to get to practical or to something that is relevant to really help people out in life. Believe me, focusing on the glory of God is practical, relevant, and it will help you in life. Because it will align you with reality. This is reality.
So you would say that every sermon should include a practical application in
the
sermon.
Of course it should.
Yeah.
Of course, because the Bible is indeed practical. Now, it doesn't apply everything. And I honestly, if a pastor fails, if a pastor had to choose which biff he's going to commit, better to not have application. Preach the word. Because God will, by the power of his Holy Spirit, help people apply it. They're going to take it away. So you preach a lofty sermon about God and his glory, that it is manifested, for instance, it is manifested in his power and sovereignty. The beasts of the field will glorify me. The whole earth is full of his glory. You could talk about the glory of God manifested in his purposes. The Lord has made everything for his own purpose. This is all his footstool. Including you and me, in condemning sinners to hell, God is glorified. I know that rankles some people, but there it is. In the law, God manifests his glory via his moral perfection and righteousness. In the incarnation, God manifests his glory via Christ. In the cross, he manifests his glory via his obedience to the Father. In redemption and salvation, God manifests his glory through forgiveness, mercy, and love. In the church, God manifests his glory via his grace, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. In the great tribulation, God will manifest his glory via judgment and wrath, Revelation 14, 7. In the New Jerusalem, God will manifest his glory via his majesty, Revelation 21, 23. You finish preaching that. God is going to be glorified, because he is glorified in everything, even in rebellious creatures, because he will deal with them on a day of judgment where he will execute justice, and he will be glorified, and the rocks will cry out, "You are right and you are just," by damning that sinner. Now, that will bring some comfort to somebody who has been perhaps wobbly, knowing that God is in control and God is sovereign and God is big. That might get applied to somebody who has been sinning and thinking God isn't aware and he doesn't care that much. It could bring them back onto the rails of morality. You see, if we skip over application, if we have to biff it on one side or the other and we miss application, by preaching about the glory of God in Christ specifically, people will be able to apply it, but it is better to do both. Question: are the sermons you're hearing about the glory of God? This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. The Senate will vote on the confirmation of Judge Amy Coney Barrett to be the next Supreme Court Justice on Monday, just 8 days before Americans head to the polls in the presidential election. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell confirmed the vote today and indicated that the Senate Judiciary Committee will vote on Barrett's nomination on Thursday, where she is expected to be approved on a party-line vote. About the confirmation process itself, McConnell said the confirmation has been handled in light of Senate history. The announcement of the vote comes as Judge Barrett finds herself with the support of the majority of the American people. A new national survey from Gallup shows a 51% majority of Americans support Judge Barrett to fill the U.S. Supreme Court seat left vacant by the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg last month. Just 46% disagree, and 3% of Americans don't have an opinion on her nomination. During the confirmation hearings, Judge Barrett said she doesn't consider the Roe v. Wade decision that allowed abortion on demand to be a super precedent that cannot be overturned. Judge Barrett says Roe is not in the same category as the Supreme Court's 1954 Brown v. Board of Education ruling, which declared segregated public schools unconstitutional, because there is still a massive debate about whether Roe is legitimate. Fulani herdsmen in north central Nigeria hacked a young Christian man to death with machetes on Wednesday of last week, making him one of 8 Christians killed this month. The herdsmen ambushed the 25-year-old and 2 Christian companions of his at about 6 p.m. as they were returning back home from farm work. Christian leaders in Nigeria have said that they believe herdsmen attacks on Christian communities in Nigeria's middle belt are inspired by their desire to forcefully take over Christians' land and impose Islam, and it's made it difficult for them to sustain their herds. Nigeria has ranked 12th on Open Doors 2020 World Watch list of countries where Christians suffer the most persecution, but second in the number of Christians killed for their faith, behind only Pakistan. As always, pray for our brothers and sisters abroad. In recent times, multiple private Christian colleges and universities have garnered headlines for decisions to either freeze or reduce tuition costs for students. Houghton College in New York announced earlier this month that it was cutting tuition from $33,920 this year to $15,900 starting next fall. Liberty University in Lynchburg announced in September that it was continuing a tuition freeze for both online and residential students for a third consecutive year. Daniel Nelson, the Chief Institutional Data and Research Officer at Bethel University, has worked with the Council on Christian Colleges and Universities on research regarding financial aid. He explained that efforts by some Christian schools to cut or freeze their tuition have been developing over the past few years. Nelson reported having found 8 Christian schools that engaged in what he labeled a tuition reset, which meant they dropped their sticker price substantially. More recently, he found that 3 more schools just in the last month or so have announced that they're doing the same. He believes it's the start of a new trend that will likely exist even after the coronavirus pandemic has ended. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. The prophet Jeremiah preached judgment and repentance to Judah for more than 40 years. He was mocked, beaten, and imprisoned. But in the end, God's judgment came upon Judah. When you hold fast to the word of God, you will be heartbroken, mocked, and even persecuted. But let Jeremiah remind you that every word of God will prove true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wow. Don't want to... quote, but who could help it at a time such as this? This is Wretched Radio. Just received a text having left St. Paul, Minnesota last week, where it was glorious. The weather was perfect. The humidity non-existent. 72.
Yeah, yeah.
And the leaves explode. It's snowing right now.
Wow. You know, I've been wanting to say something about your Minnesota trip. You know, every time I go to Minnesota, I seem to bring you back gifts.
Okay, and how many times have you been to Minnesota?
Once.
Okie dokie.
He's one for one.
All right.
That's right.
We're going next year. I'll make sure that I bring back something.
Okay, all right.
From the Boundary Waters.
I won't let you forget that.
The Boundary Waters, which absolutely lovely, but let me tell you something. The summer, you better enjoy it while it's there that day. Because the next day, probably not so much. Sorry for gloating to my home state, but the next time I complain about my humidity, I'm just going to think about, oh yeah, it's probably snowing right now in Minnesota. Zoinks, Scoob. And it happens to be just about perfect here in Atlanta. But I can tell you, that's right, this is a segue. I can tell you where it's not so good right now.
All right.
Canada. Specifically, the home of one Tim Challies. Let me tell you, he is not having a good day right now. I hold in my never-before nicotine-stained finger. Speaking of which, that's a Rush Limbaugh-ism. Hmm. I took a few moments last night to read his update on his health.
Not good.
It's gone backwards. The tumors, he has lung cancer. And the tumors, they've stopped shrinking, and it appears that they've grown a little bit more. Now, they're going to try a new thing to see if they can even shrink them again. Nevertheless, while it was poignant, Rush Limbaugh made it very clear. He said, I've stated this from the beginning. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where my hope is. That's where my comfort is. It was good to hear that. I was pondering. Rush Limbaugh will die, and millions of people listen to him every day. And perhaps you're thinking, whoa, well, who's going to fill that position if you are interested in political things of that bent and persuasion? And the answer is, God's got to figure it out. And the same thing is true in the church. Anytime that you're nervous because a high-profile guy has died or is going to die, don't be in a panic. You can be sad. But you don't have to be in a panic. God has his man lined up in the bullpen. And if not, it is because he doesn't want somebody of that stature to rise up. He's got this. He really does have this. Do you know, if you're wondering who's going to win the election, God knows, because he's determined it. It's already a done deal. It is so, everything in this universe is just plain certain. Even as you change your mind and you think, well, that wasn't a part of God's plan because I changed my mind. No, it was a part of your plan to change your mind because that was God's plan. He's got this. You don't need to panic and you don't need to be sad if your dog has to be put down soon. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Actually, somebody isn't all that sad today, is he?
Unfortunately, no. You're going to make people hate me.
But see, I don't think you're being honest with your inner self, Mike.
He's
because
not.
you came right before we threw the microphones on, you said, "Oh, I just found out we got to put our dog down."
Okay, but I'm more upset that my wife's upset about it.
Come on, just let me talk to your inner child for a moment.
Okay, go ahead.
You're a little sad on these.
A little bit, yeah.
There it is. Okay, good. All right. My biblical counseling work is through.
It is. We've talked about this, me and Jimmy. He knows that dislike dogs.
Who's talked about this?
Me and Jimmy Jam and I.
Thank you.
I'm his biblical counselor.
He is. And
who's
and
his grammatical counselor?
Not
are,
me.
You are. Yeah, let me preface this conversation.
Okay.
I thoroughly love dogs. And if they're not mine, if they're not in my house, I don't like hair being everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And of course, we found out that our dog was going to have to be put down. And I know my wife is at home and she is distraught and she is upset. That upsets me more than anything. But we talked about if we ever had to put him down, I mean, it would make me sad. We've had him for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying this is not an answered prayer?
Let's segue.
If you think you're squiggling, Tim Challies right now, you're welcome, my friend. Tim Challies in Canada. Oh, I can only imagine his emails. An article that he wrote called, "Are You Prepared for a New Batch of Conspiracy Theories?" Ooh. No doubt he's going to be taking a drubbing. But if we have ears to hear, maybe, just maybe, we might see a little something in ourselves in why, at least according to Tim Challies, people are so interested in conspiracy theories. I'll admit it, they're intriguing. There's something kind of Gnostic about them. Yeah, oh, there's the real story. I'm inside of this game. I know what's really going on. So I admit it. And I would also state, not all conspiracy theories are automatically false. But we want to be people who believe truth and who promote truth and who teach truth. And if we're buying into conspiracy theories, then we are not fulfilling our role. So for your consideration, from the man who's taking a drubbing even as we speak, conspiracy theories are about power. They're either meant to expose how powerful people are misusing power or to unveil the individuals who secretly hold the reins of power. So conspiracy theories, at their core, they've got something to do with muscle. Who's running the place? Who's pulling the strings? Who's really controlling the situation? That's point number one. Second, because conspiracy theories concern power, they tend to be political in nature. That's true, isn't it? How many conspiracy theories, besides Elvis not being dead, which actually, just to let you in, he didn't die. But the point is, when are they not about the government? I mean, I suppose they could be about a famous person, but overall, isn't it true that conspiracy theories tend to be governmental-based and governmental-driven? The truther theories around 9/11 are meant to discredit President Bush, while the birther theories were meant to discredit President Obama. The conspiracy theories were inseparable from their political causes. If that happens to annoy you for any reason whatsoever, please visit Challies.com. Challies.com. I'm just sharing this with you so that you can know how upset people are with Tim Challies. Number three, observation about conspiracy theories. They tend to be adopted and spread along partisan lines. While conspiracy theories exist equally among liberals and conservatives, and they do, each is more likely to believe certain theories, the ones that align with their political perspectives and advance their political agendas. It's true, isn't it? When somebody's talking trash about your guy, whoa, that's ridiculous. But when somebody is talking about somebody you're not nuts about,
That's right.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Now, it doesn't mean that every news story we hear is a conspiracy theory. That's not the point. But by identifying what it is that is attractive and what is powerful about conspiracy theories, it will help us to not buy into theories. We're not theorists. We don't want to be the speculators. We are not speculation people. Isn't that what Paul warned about with your idle speculations? These dealing with genealogies, not exactly sure what he was getting at with that. I think it had to do with who was born of whom and who is related to whom and who descended from that guy, I think. But he said it's an idle speculation. You're wasting your time and you're causing trouble. We don't want to be doing that. But that doesn't mean we don't want to be discerning and find out what is true. Fourth, conspiracy theories tend to arise when power has shifted or appears it may shift. So this is a really good time for conspiracy theories, hence the title of Tim's article. Are you prepared for a new batch of conspiracy theories? So because of the election, somebody going to win, somebody going to lose.
One day they will.
There may be more theories. Yeah, one day they that's right. And then afterwards, there's going to be a shift. There's the transition of power. We're just going to be seeing a lot of them. We need to identify that. We don't want to be gullible people. We want to live in the realm of reality. Number five, theories that involve a conspiracy tend to resonate among those who have seen their power diminish and now fear what will become of them. It's true, isn't it? In fact, I think that there's another angle to this. When there's somebody in power that you are not a fan of, and you hear a conspiracy theory, doesn't it give you hope? in an odd way, it does. Okay, hey, good. Maybe this will get the guy out. Maybe this will discredit. Maybe this will disable him from having power and being able to make bad decisions. It gives hope, but is it a real hope? No, it's a false hope if it's just a conspiracy theory. And if I could just tack an addendum onto this, recently seen a slew, and I mean it is a slew of stories about people that have been accused of bad dealings, dishonorable behavior. In a sense, until it's proven otherwise, it's still a theory. And so I don't want to be passing that gossip along, spreading that news until I know for sure. And even then I need to determine, is it worth passing on? Perhaps understanding what is attractive about conspiracy theories will help us to identify them, believe the truth and nothing but the truth, and to propagate the truth and nothing but the truth. And pray for Tim Challies. This is Wretched Radio.
We know all too well how hard it is to fall into a routine. We've all been there, especially during a pandemic. We get lazy, and then one day it becomes 1 week. But listen, don't let your skip days become skip months. Get back into watching Wretched TV. Give your brain the theological workout that it so desperately needs. I mean, watching one episode of Wretched TV is like the equivalent of losing zero calories. You're not going to find that anywhere else. And Wretched TV has so much to offer. Our 30-minute program covers subjects that vary from pneumatology to parenting to evangelizing and so much more, but they don't talk about those in that Zumba class. So let your brain do some heavy lifting and watch Wretched TV. You can find Wretched TV on Truly, Roku, Amazon Prime, Amazon Fire TV, or at wretched.org/TV. That's wretched.org/TV. Now get to stretching. Your brain, that is.
Uh-huh. And you didn't think it was worth your time to pay attention in geography class.
I'm thinking about a village that we visited called Pirasmani. It took us about 4 hours to get there, and the road was so bumpy that we were a couple of basket cases by the time we got there. But you know what? There were 35 kids waiting there for us. They have no church in this village. Talk about an unreached place, and we're now operating a tomorrow club in that place.
You and I could not find that place on a map of Eastern Europe, but tomorrow clubs do, and they go, and they bring the gospel, and kids are getting saved. They're bringing the gospel home to parents, and churches are being started or revitalized. Would you please consider supporting your own tomorrow clubs? $30 per month will disciple 30 kids in places you and I couldn't even find on a map. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Well, fall time is here, and you know what that means. It's pumpkin spice season. That's right. Coffee, scented candles, chapstick, Oreos, you name it, you can probably find it in pumpkin spice. And we didn't want to be left out, so for a limited time only, you can become a pumpkin spice gospel partner. What does that mean? Well, it's like a normal gospel partner, but spicy and pumpkin-y? Now, what's with the 20 questions? The point is, we want you to become a gospel partner. And when you become a gospel partner, you're going to be helping Wretched spread the good news of the gospel to people all over the world. As a matter of fact, every dollar you give is carefully stewarded away. If you're already a gospel partner, we are extremely grateful to you and for you. We can't do what we do without you. And if you're not, would you prayerfully consider becoming one? To become a gospel partner, it's simple. It's easy. All you have to do is visit wretched.org/donate. Or to make it even easier, you can text Wretched to the number 44321. That's wretched.org/donate, or text the word Wretched to the number 44321.
Attributes of God. Aseity is the word for God's self-existence. Nobody made God. God is the unmoved mover who causes all other things to be. All things depend on God for their continued existence. God does not need his creation. He chose to create us to glorify him and enjoy him forever. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe to bring you the stuff that I took the time to read through, but couldn't exactly find a home for. But would like to share them with you, but don't want to be disjointed and appear to have a short attention span. Therefore, we present to you now Wretched's Wild World of Stories, all slapped with a Bible verse to make it Christian radio. This is Wretched Radio. Speaking of Bible verses, how do you feel about getting texts from corporations or ministries? It started to happen on my phone.
I don't like them.
I don't know if you're getting... I went to... Okay.
I must not be Christian enough.
Wretched sends me this email every month.
Okay. No, no, that's an email.
Oh, that's different.
Okay. Yeah, that's an email. This is a text to your phone. And I went... You probably noticed I do go to the gym. And I was in California, and I went to the gym. And I've got to tell you, I was exposed to something there that is deeply disturbing, and it is nothing that you have never heard before.
COVID-19?
Maybe I was. Apparently, we all have it these days. You know, you do that test deep enough, and we've all got some form of COVID in our nose. But at any rate, I went to this gym, which had to be outside, because in California, gyms aren't open on the inside, at least not in Los Angeles County. So I went to this gym. We were out there visiting Masters University. It was a number of miles away. The gym is outside, and so the equipment is in the parking lot with a fence around it, and they had two big speakers set up with the music that they chose to play. It was the rap music that the kids seem to like.
The rap?
Have you listened to any rap music lately?
I have.
Mike listens to it a lot.
Okay, let me clarify. Christian rap.
Okay, no. This was the opposite of Christian. This would be anti-Christian rap. Perhaps you've heard monologues, diatribes about the poisonous nature of rap music and how it promotes anger and fury in young people who consume this acid on a regular basis. I've heard that, but now I've heard some rap music, and now I get that.
Because it made you angry.
It's not just rap,
wow,
though. Let me come to the defense a little bit. It's not just rap.
No, you do not want to. You know what? It'd be better for you to just flat out say you hate your dog and you want him dead. Do not try to defend rap music.
Rap, there are certainly rock. Secular music in general, I would say, does this.
Not country.
Dude, you are not country. I'm going to send you to that gym in California. You need to listen to this stuff. I am telling you. I don't even want to give you the laundry list of words. I can imagine. Starting with the F-bomb was used regularly. Yeah. And then every other bomb in prison vernacular was being used. Not only that, the N-word constantly with pejoratives in front of the N-word.
It's not offensive if it's in a rap song.
No, I'm telling you, it is disturbing to the core. And so then I'm trying to mind my own beeswax because, you know, I'll just be honest with you, to go to the gym and having people just look at you with that jealousy, like, you know, how do you do that? That's not easy. I'll be really honest with, I mean, I can imagine that would be the case. So now I start listening a little bit to the conversations going on around me. And guess what they sound like? The rap music that's being pumped out of the speakers, the bilge that is flowing into our ears. It's coming out of their mouths. Foul, profane, gratuitous, and even unnecessary. Wow. And I thought, if that's mainstream culture, and in it many ways it is, we are getting lower and lower and lower. In fact, that actually brings us to this in my stack of wide world of stories. Tom Askell about the forgotten God. In his acceptance speech for the Templeton Prize for Progress in Religion in 1983, Alexander Solzhenitsyn addressed the reason for the Russian Revolution. Listen very, very carefully. It looks like we're going through one of these ourselves. This ain't Reformation, y'all. This is called a revolution. And it happened under Alexander Solzhenitsyn's watch. And he explained why. That the revolution that ended up with 60 million people slaughtered. After spending 50 years studying this question, Solzhenitsyn summarized his conclusion in the words of elders that he heard in his childhood. Men have forgotten God. That's why all this has happened. Men have forgotten God, and bad things will happen. It has to happen. Sin is never satisfied. It always wants more. And when we have people that are unregenerated, who love sin, they love the darkness, they love foul, filthy, angry, horrid, wicked thoughts being pumped into their ear with a beat that is just numbing, you're in trouble as a culture. I think this is probably the most popular music right now in Western civilization. And if what I heard at the gym in Los Angeles, California, is any indication of what kids are listening to,
that's where it originates from.
Speaking of California, speaking of California, did you see what the governor, I get the two confused all the time. The governor of California said, okay, peasants, you can have Thanksgiving, but only for 2 hours and only apparently with three families, something like that, and no singing.
Is that when COVID takes a break?
There's rules to COVID. You got to understand them. And apparently Gavin Newsom does. And so he's let the little people.
He's the COVID whisperer.
Have Thanksgiving. Wow. If you want to know what Solzhenitsyn is talking about, that's a polite glimpse of it. That's totalitarianism. That is a man exercising might and determining what is best for the masses. This is what we'll let you do Thanksgiving this year, but this is how you're going to do it. Zoinks. Federal court rules California seminary can expel two students who entered into a gay marriage. This is Fuller Theological Seminary. There's one for the right side. Doesn't happen very often, but on occasion it does. If we have court cases that are being set before justices to determine what rights Christians have, that in and of itself is a little concerning. Nevertheless, that's a good one. In the meantime, you've got yourself Vice President Biden pledging to make Roe v. Wade the law of the land. If the Supreme Court acts, he will block pro-life state laws that violate Roe versus Wade. Biden will work to codify Roe v. Wade, and the Justice Department will do everything in its power to stop the rash of state laws that so blatantly violate Roe v. Wade. That's from his website. It goes on and on and on. He may be polite, although I think, frankly, he probably needs to have his mouth washed out with soap on a regular basis. Nevertheless, if you think that a veneer of pleasant manners is masking the evil underneath. Speaking of the abortion issue, if you have not lately considered becoming a sponsor of Preborn Ministries, would encourage you to do that. That's where the battle is really happening. Legislatively, very important. On the streets, crucial, $28 for an ultrasound. A woman changes her mind 80% of the time. Simple as that. Babies live because of ultrasounds. Preborn provides them for free. They also provide other material. They provide clothing. They provide cribs. They provide the Similac. They provide training. And they provide the gospel for mommy and daddy to hear it. It's a great ministry if you can support it. That would be to bomb diggity. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched. Politics. So much with politics, but they do have something to do with Christians. Here's one, for instance. A new poll stating the support for Black Lives Matter's protest takes a nosedive. Well, that's something. Wait a second. Did we do two positive stories here? That's a good thing. Support among Black Americans dropped by 18 points from supporting Black Lives Matter. Because thankfully, despite Google and Facebook's attempt to not let everybody see those stories, the reality is some people are putting stuff together.
Oh, you just got us censored.
We already have been. Are you kidding me? We have been.
Yeah.
And this has been going on for a number of years. So now whenever I talk to somebody else who's in ministry, I'll say, hey, how are you doing on Facebook? And they either write away and go, yeah, it started about 2 years ago, or yeah, about 6 months ago we started to get it censored. Or they go, no, I think we're doing fine. And then 15 minutes later, I get a text. Wait a second. Our numbers, what happened? Nobody's able to see the stuff that we're posting. But thankfully, we are the land of the free and the home of the brave. And it's only China that censors what goes out to people and what they actually... Wait a second. That's exactly what's going on right here. If you haven't spent any moments preparing for what is almost certainly, if not with this election, the one afterwards, going to be a perpetual effort to try to squeeze Christians to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Remember, this is not a culture war. This is a dogma war. I would go even further. This is a conscience war. You see, people who listen to bilge rap music, who love to abort their babies, who love to have sexual relationships in any form or configuration that they prefer, the only thing that is a perpetual reminder to them these days that it is a sin is the church. Are you ready? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.